need to start by telling you two things. First of all, I'm stupid. And I know this to be true because I had a teacher at school called Mr. Rumbold who told me I was stupid. Here am I talking to you. I think it's become my biggest strength, I hope. The other thing I need to tell you, I work in the arts, so I'm bound to lie to you and pretend that it's true. A couple of years ago, I was visiting France with my son and partner, and my partner was off shopping, so me and my son were looking around a fairly austere Catholic cathedral in a town called Vannes. And it is very plain, apart from the fact that at one end of this cathedral was a beautiful stained glass window of the crucifixion. And we were walking behind a fairly elderly English couple, and the wife turned to her husband and she said, do you see the sky around Jesus' head? And the husband said, yes. And she said, that's the colour I want our bathroom. You all laugh, but there's a woman making a decision about the quality of her life using art. And I would argue that we need to disenthrall ourselves about what we think the arts are and aren't. And I'm only talking about the arts because I know less about everything else in the world. For too long, we have posed things that are as false opposites, like excellence and popular, like accessible or experimental, like maker or audience, like high art or low art. These are posed in our structures as opposites, and they're not. They are both constituent parts of the same thing, good or hard. We also had to get away from the idea of drug dealer mentality in the arts, the idea that let's get them in on the soft stuff and then we'll get them on the higher style stuff later. That logic has to go. People describe who they are in all sorts of ways. We sing songs to our national football teams before games. We speak poetry at our funerals. We tell stories to our children. We garden, we decorate cakes. Art is everywhere. And the more people know about how to make a pot, then the more likely they are to recognise an extraordinary potter. You see, access and excellence can coexist. We should be investing in people and encouraging people to make art as a way to understand the world in which they live. Because for me, that's what the arts are, tools to understand the world. Of course, this is something, and this is alluded to earlier on, that sport's been doing for years. It gets it far better than the arts do. And I thought of this today. Do you know the difference between sport and art? Sport's less competitive.
Picture
those huge marathon events that happen in London and New York and Paris, where everybody participates on equal terms and tries to do the best that they can for themselves. They're not competing to win, they're competing to be as good as they can. Me and a couple of colleagues, Kevin will be very delighted that I've told you this story, decided a few years ago, we were all runners. I know that's hard to believe. I still do a bit running. And we decided that we would run what we called the Race for Equality. And the Race for Equality was we would announce the time at the end of the race. So the end of the race was 12 minutes past one. And the distance was as far as people wanted to run. And the ambition was to see who could get nearest to the end time of the race rather than the beginning of the race. So you can imagine the fit runners set off 6 miles, away 25 minutes and aim to get there at 12 minutes past one, while somebody else would run 100 yards in 15 minutes. And it seemed to me there's something in that for the arts to learn, that actually it's about letting individuals decide the terms in which they are engaging that makes it fair, that it's not about us prescribing how people do and don't move the arts. I'm going to offer you one last example of this, which is our own arts organisation, and we were asked to run a scheme to encourage new makers of the arts. And we were given quite a lot of money, so relatively quite a lot of money to do that. And I talked to my colleague who runs all the work we do with young people and asked her what she thought we would do. And do you know what she did? She said, I'm going to let anybody phone me up and tell me what they want to do and we will give them the money, up to £1,000. And so people can phone our organisation, this is not an uncapped fund, between 18 and 25, and ask for money, and we give them the money on the strength of the phone call. There are three or four thin conditions. They can't spend it on themselves. They're given a mentor to work with them, and that mentor agrees to meet with that group of young people for 1 hour only, but they all do more than that, because once they're given the opportunity, of course they will, and they can't spend it on things. And we have, so far this year, funded 22 groups of young people. All of them have done more than we expected and that they said they would do. All of the mentors who worked with all of those young people got more involved than we had anticipated. They all did 2 or 3 or 4 hours. One person went on to direct a show with the company. Somebody else booked a tour. Somebody else found other money to add to the value. Because we want the opportunity for young people to say, this is what we want to do. People are prepared to help. And what we need to do is find the lightest possible touch to encourage people to make art in the way in which they so choose. Thank you.